إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew that this life is a stage. It is not a destination. The definition of a destination is somewhere after which there is nothing more. That is the final place after which there is nothing else. If you take our lives, we start life, you go to nursery school. From nursery school, you may like nursery school very much, but you go to nursery school for what? To get into primary school. Then you are in primary school. You may love it very much. You like the teachers, like the class, like the place, like the atmosphere and everything. But you don't stay there. And if you ask that primary school child, you are here for what? To get into secondary school. In secondary school, to get into high school. Once you finish, once you are in high school, you ask a high school child, why are you here? He will say, to get into college. Right? Now, in the college, and further, so you get into from college, he goes to post-graduation, from which is university, and then from post-graduation, then he will say, well, I have to get a job. And why do you get a job? I want to get married, I will have children, and so on and so on and so on, and then I will die. So even death, if you take it, that is also not a destination, because otherwise it makes no sense. Because if you say that I did all of this to die, right? I went to nursery school, then I went to high school, then college, and I got a degree, then I got a job, and I got married, I got children to die. I mean, that makes no sense, right? Why do you have to do all that to die? You can die without all that. So that is also not a destination. And after death, we know what happens. We are in our qabr, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us, and then on the day of Hashar, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus inshallah, bi ghairi hisab. That is the destination. If you go to the people in Jannah and you say, why are you here? I'm here with Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me here. There's nowhere else to go after that. So the final destination is inshallah al musta'an, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Now the reason I'm saying this is because, like I said earlier, if you ask the high school student, why are you here? He will say to go into college. Therefore now, if you watch his life, I'm talking about somebody who's got some sense, good, sensible high school student. If you watch his or her life, you will find that even though they may enjoy the high school, they have friends and they go play football or whatever it is, and you know, they have a nice time. But the whole focus is that I am preparing to get into college. So if I want to get into medical college or I want to get into engineering college or whatever it is, then the whole focus is which are the subjects that I must concentrate on. If I want to get into one of the IITs, which are the subjects I want to concentrate on if I want to get into a medical college, and so on and so forth, and the person is studying and all that. And then what happens is, if you watch them, when there is a choice between that studying for that subject and there is this football game that I should play or I should watch, studying for the subject or my friends are having a party which they have invited me, the person is very clear. He'll say, sorry, no party, salaam alaikum to the party. I have to do this because my goal is to get into college. My goal is not to have this party. Yes, we have good friends, alhamdulillah, no problem, nice to have friends. But my purpose of being in this school or being in this college is not to have a social circle. I am not here to have a social circle. I am not here to have this whole group of nice friends. I am having a nice time. My goal is something else. My goal is to get into this finest medical college, engineering college, whatever college that there is. And to do that, I have to sacrifice some things. I have to leave some things and I have to do some other things. If I don't do that, then I may have a nice time here, but I have missed my goal. So now I can't get into that college, I have to get into some third class college, or maybe I can't get into any college at all because I failed the exam. Then all of this nice time I had will only be a time of regret. It will not be a time on which I will even be able to look back on and say, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I didn't get into college. It's okay if I am pulling a rickshaw, but at least I had a nice time in high school. I mean, nobody is going to say that if that is what happens to them. So now if you look at our life, this life is a stage. We went through various stages from the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the alamul arwah, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided into the womb of our mothers, and then we were born and we are in this life, and then we will go into the womb of the grave, and from the qabr we will go on the day of judgment, we will be resurrected onto the maidan of hashar, and all of that which happens there, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, we ask Allah for Jannah. So all of these are stages in our life, and that is why even maut, we use the term in Urdu, we say intiqal, which means muntakil hona, to move from one place to another place, from this room to that room, from this life to that life. Now, point is that therefore, what must we do with this life now? And what is special about this life? If all of these are stages, what is special about this stage? What is special about this stage is that this is the only stage in which we have irada, in which we have the ability to take decisions. In all the other stages of our lives, before this stage and after this stage, they are all stages. But in all the other stages of our lives, we had no ability to decide anything. Right? We had no ability to decide anything. Everything was pre-programmed. In this stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us some ikhtiyar. He gave us some decision power. He gave us some ability to do something. And that also is limited. It's not, Allah has not given us complete ikhtiyar. For example, Allah gave us the ability to decide what we will eat. But once we have eaten, we have no control over it. It will do what it has to do. Right? It may harm you, it may benefit you, and so on and so forth. But we have the ability to decide, should I take this, should I not take this? And that is where also the issue of hidayat comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us only the ability to decide without a criterion. So I don't know, yeah, I have the ability to decide, but I don't know which is good, which is not good. We are not in that situation. We know which is good, we know which is not good. For example, we know that if you are going to eat all these nice, fried stuff, then it tastes very nice and so on. But then after that, I'm going to have, diarrhea, and I'm going to have acidity, and I'm going to have heartburn and all of this. I know this. So this is a informed decision that I'm taking. Despite that, if I still want to eat that, well, there is, the consequences. You knew the consequences before you put the first pakoda in your mouth. And then, of course, there's also antacids and so on and so forth. So there is some action you can take if you get into trouble. So if you look at our lives, the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a whole template to say, I have given you the ability to take decisions, but this ability we have not simply given you the ability and left you without guidance, where you have the ability, but you don't know what is good and what is not good. So you still can't take good decisions. That is not the situation. We have given you the ability. We have also given you guidance. We have also given you a template based on which you decide what is good and what is not good. It's not, you are not left in the dark. And then you are responsible for the consequences of those decisions. And even there, the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after knowing something is wrong, if I still do it, I still have the possibility of getting out of trouble. My antacids are there. I can go back, I can make tawbah, I can repent, and I can come back onto the right path. Now, if somebody has been given this ability to decide, was given a template based on which to decide, Al-Furqan, which is the template, and then the person also has the ability to retract and to get out of any trouble which he or she got into knowingly or unknowingly, despite all that, if they still do not do it, if they still insist on taking wrong decisions, and if they still insist on sticking to those wrong decisions and not repenting, not turning around, then who do we have to blame? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La zulma al-yawm. Allah said, on this day, on the day of judgment, there will be no zulm. Nobody will be oppressed, nobody will be unjustly punished. You would have earned whatever you got, whether it is good or whether it is not good. This is something that you have earned. You have worked for it, you have invested in it, you have spent time, energy and money behind it, and you got the reward. Whether this reward was good or this reward is not good, that depends on the individual. And that is why Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said that all of us are authors. We are writing our books. And on the day of judgment, this book, this kitab will be published and it will be given to you. It's my life. This is your life. Take the book in your hand. You wrote the book. So if there is a story in this book which is not nice, who put it there? You put it there. While you were writing the book and you were editing the book, you had the opportunity to remove that story. You had the opportunity to wipe it clean. You did not do that. You chose to leave it there. Now when the book is published and you read the book, you say, Allah, astaghfirullah, ilazim, what is this? Well, you put it there. It is your story. Whose book is it? My book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. He said, the kitab will be given in your hand. We ask Allah to give us our books in the right hand. Because Allah said, the one who's given the book in the right hand, he will go around, he will show people, see what I got, see what I got. He'll be very happy to see this kitab in his right hand. So this life is a stage. We are all authors. We are writing our books. Let us ensure that we write the correct things. To close the loop with the five things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to do, and which we have been talking about for the last few days, just to recap and to link with what we are saying here, what I would say is that what we need to do is look at it, the stages of it, look at it in this context and say, for example, the first thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was, save yourselves from haram. So what must we do? Look in our lives and say, what in my life is haram? What am I doing which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For each of us, it might be something, it will be something different. And if you are among those where there is nothing in my life which is haram, then alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I'm not saying there has to be something like haram in your life. Maybe there is nothing, alhamdulillah. That is how it should be. But if there is, then let us beware and catch ourselves before we find this in our kitab on the day of judgment. Similarly, the second one, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be happy with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we bring ourselves to that state of happiness? This one, definitely, every one of us will have something in our lives which we wish is different. I wish this thing wasn't there. I wish this thing was there. May be true, but it is not there. This is our qadr. Can we be pleased with that? Not just accept it. Say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I am pleased with this. How can you be pleased with something which is painful? Because I see it in the way it is, which is my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu chose this for me. Therefore, I am happy with it. I mentioned this before. One of the Salaf, somebody asked him, he said, when I make dua and Allah gives me, I am happy once. But when I make dua and Allah does not give me or gives me something else, then I am happy 10 times. So they said, how is this very strange? Because you are happy once if you get something you want it, but when you don't get it, you are happy 10 times. He said, because when I don't get it, I got what my Rabb wanted, Jalla Jalaluhu. So what I got was what he wanted to give me, therefore I am 10 times as happy as otherwise. So be happy with the qadr of Allah. So let us look in our lives and say, what in my qadr is there which I need to be pleased about? Change my attitude. Number 3 is do ihsan with your neighbor. See, action has to happen. It is not simply enough to simply hear things. action has to happen. Who is my neighbor? Do we know my neighbor? Do I know my neighbor? Do I know my neighbor's name? Do I know my neighbor? What is their, what condition are they in? Alhamdulillah, if they are well and good, alhamdulillah. But if there is something they need, is there something I am doing which is harmful to the neighbor, irritating to the neighbor? Maybe the neighbor never told me that, but I must think to myself. Sometimes people don't say out of politeness. They say, okay, I leave it, you know, it's okay. But that does not mean it's okay, it is bad. So people have to, we must ourselves think, my behavior, is it something which is troubling my neighbors? Even though they may not have told me, is it troubling them? If it is troubling them, then I have to change my behavior. Otherwise, I am answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourth thing, love for your brother what you love for yourself. Is this the case with me? I must ask myself, do I want for my brothers and sisters what I want for myself? And if not, I need to change that. And the last one is, do not laugh too much, do not laugh too loudly, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this kills the heart, this makes the heart dead. So do not do that to yourself, do not do that to your heart. Am I doing that? If I am doing that, I need to stop doing it. As I said, by all means be humorous, nothing wrong in being good natured, but one must not take it to a level where it becomes an issue, where the heart becomes dead. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who practice and who are focused on practice, not only on talking and listening, but on practicing what we hear. We ask Allah to accept this from us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.